So, Amory, do you know how an Italian guy gets into an honest business?
No, I don't.
Usually through the skylight. Shedding light inside your warehouse. This is another edition of Political QRM. Buckle up and lock and load.
Me by surprise, folks. It really did. Oh my god. Yeah, thanks. Okay, well, there goes my really serious opening, and but that's all right, folks. Thank you for joining us.
Hey, just trying to help.
I know. Thank you very much. Thank you for joining us today, this latest edition of Political QRM. Unfortunately, we have had some technical difficulties for the past two podcasts, so those had to be hosed. I don't know what's going on, but let's hope that we can get this out today.
And so we drop this down the drain.
Yeah, I know. So how are you, Lou? What's going on?
Oh, just peachy, just peachy. Ducky.
It's fall.
Oh, I'm just, you know, cotton candy in a county fair world.
Oh, that's nice. I've never heard that.
I had just made that up.
I was just gonna...
Me either. I just.
It's fall up here in New England, but not really. We keep having temperatures in the 70s still, which I have to say is a little annoying for me. And what's even more annoying are those dumb stink bugs seem to be multiplying unbelievably. I mean, it's just like all over the outside of my windows. And it's like, and when I find those stupid things, I mean, they're so prehistoric looking. It's like, get out of my house.
No, they're not prehistoric. They look like a bug. Oh, I've seen some prehistoric looking. Ever see a cave cricket?
No, I haven't.
Oh, my God. Paleolithic, Jurassic Park, Cenozoic looking things.
Really?
Oh, my
God. Okay.
They're horrible looking things. They got spikes and horns and stuff on their legs and...
Really?
They're all camouflage color. Oh, they're terrible. Oh, God, they're disgusting.
Okay.
And they're huge, by the way.
Okay.
They're huge. If one of them climbs in your sneaker, you don't have to worry about you didn't see it. You know what I mean?
Oh.
Not like a, you know, like a black widow spider way down or something. No. These things are huge.
Okay.
We had one stink bug.
Okay.
And it was on the underside of a plant, just because at my angle I see things people standing up don't see.
Right.
What's that?
Uh-oh.
Oh, there's a stink bug on the bedroom window.
There you go.
But, however, the ladybugs have started as well.
That's true. And I've already been killing them inside the house. Or I vacuum them up. I mean, I vacuum them up.
Yep. That's right. That's me.
Oh, it's horrible.
You know, it's one thing to have them... I look at it this way. When we moved in, and we moved in March, and of course by April we had the ladybug invasion.
Mm-hmm.
And I really don't mind. You know, I mean, I can't tell because they mix them. You get those Chinese
whatever they
lady
are.
Beetles, and
yeah,
ladybugs, and they run together. So you really can't tell who's who. You know, and I was fine. Debbie was ushering them out the door or a window or what have you. And it got to the point where we went from, I don't know, 7 or 8 million. down to just several hundred, and then even down to several dozen. And I my sleep habits, as you know, are quite sporadic. So I'd come out here, it's, you know, 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock in the morning, and I'd sit down. And I'd sit down and I'd wiggle my mouse, the monitor would come up, and the next thing I know, they're flying all over me, all over my face, and I said, that's it.
Yep.
Middle of the night, I got the Orec. I got the Orec cure here. Orkin man, nothing. Got the Orec man here. Zoop, suck them up. I'd had enough. But never, ever suck up a stink bug. That's not a good idea.
No. It is not. They're, the smell on them is even more horrible.
Had them in Maine. Oh, we had them in Maine. You guys obviously have one. We've got one or two now here, so I'm not going to complain. That's not a bad thing in my book.
Well,
but the Weather Channel was on in the waiting room, and according to you, according to them, you guys are pretty much at peak in the valleys.
Yeah, we are. Actually, we are. It's very strange because the trees that normally be at peak, some of them are, but some aren't. I used to get a really beautiful swath of color in my backyard, but some of them haven't started changing yet. It's really strange. The whole thing. It was doing fine until the weather decided to go back to, like, you know, early August temperatures. And now we've had some really cold nights, which have been absolutely wonderful. But now we're getting these 70-degree days again, and I don't like it. But supposedly we're supposed to get back into normal fall weather beginning of the middle of next week. But I don't like it. I'm sorry. This is October, folks. As a matter of fact, we're going
into the second half of October. Any day I don't hear LP whistling through the lines to the heater, I'm a happy guy.
Oh, okay. Okay. Well, actually, yeah. But I still would like just a fall day. I'm not talking about really cold. I would like a nice bracing, you know?
Well, I don't know about bracing. Today, when we were out going down to Bartonsville, down to the hospital, mm-hmm. we had the windows open in the car.
Yeah.
You know, no air on. The windows open in the car, and it was just the Weather Channel said it was 66, but I don't know if it was that warm or that cold, you know, whatever. It was just rolling back and forth to and from the car in the parking lot. The weather, Debbie said, and I said, it's the most beautiful day we've seen, and I can't tell how long.
No, okay.
You know?
Yeah. I'll tell you what's happening up here. I keep seeing the bear in my backyard. He's already, the score is Amory 0, Bear 2, as far as my bird feeders he has destroyed. Also, I keep seeing a lot of deer in my backyard, and they're feeding. Normally, by this time, the bear goes back up, further up into the mountains, and starts eating as he goes toward to hibernate. And the deer also. Yep. But these two, the deer and the bear still around, means to me that we're going to have a really bad winter. Because it looks like they want to get as much fat on themselves. So I think
it's an opportunity thing. The weather's been warm enough that they're sticking around because they know they can get to the food.
Usually, we don't get snow. Not yet, but it's very strange. And I think they said we're supposed to have a pretty bad winter here. So I'm thinking,
I don't know.
We'll see.
Now, my brother, you know, Dr. Mazzatello, lives in Bergen County.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, lives, works, teaches, etc. in Bergen County.
Mm-hmm.
And his big issue, let me tell you just a little anecdote. Years and years and years ago, when I was living out in Northwest Jersey, one of our old school passed away,
uh-huh.
and we had to go to a memorial service, and it was, you know, down in Somerset County, Hunterdon County area. So since he was working and had to go past, he picked me up in Hope, and we went down 519 to get down to the Flemington Bridgewater area.
Mm-hmm.
And it was after work, so it was probably, I don't know, 3:30, 4 o'clock. And as we're going down the road, a couple of deer hippity-hopped across the road. And I told him, I said, Bill, slow down, because this is a heavy deer area. Slow down. This isn't, you know, north, you know?
Right.
And so they go bounding across the road, and he goes, what the hell is that? I said, those are deer. He goes, you guys just let them run in the street like that? I said, well, they're supposed to cross by the signs that say deer crossing, but, you know, they're jaywalking, whatever.
No, he didn't.
No,
say
he did. Actually, he did, because he reiterated it the other day when he called me. You know, every week he goes, we go down to see Mom and Dad once a month, but he goes every week.
Uh-huh.
Dutiful son that he is, you know. And he calls and we talk for the hour it takes him to get down there. It's our weekly
catch-up. That's excellent, you know? Yeah.
And now he's in Bergen County, like I said. He said he had to stop his car, roll down his window, and holler at one in the middle of the street. He said, there was this deer. It was right in the middle of the street. I said, what'd you do? He said, I honked my horn. It didn't make no never mind. He said, I had to open my window, hang out, and say, hey, get the whatever out of the way, man. He said, it looked at him and wandered off. Now, this is urban Bergen County, or suburban. I mean, it's not out in the country where the streams and creeks are, you know, and it's not in the city, you know, which we'll get to in a few minutes. You know, and that he said that New Jersey is planning to try and do a depopulation on these deer.
You mean
and he says, oh, I don't know how.
Heavy hunting?
The thing is, he says, I don't know how you would do it, because he knows how I would do it. He's seen me do it out the window at the old house. I said, archers. I said, you know, you get these guys who go out and they're archers, you know, and they've got you look at the licenses and the tags for the last 20 years. These guys have been doing it for 20 years. They bring home a couple of deer, you know, here, there, and maybe they miss a year, but they're, you know, they've never had a violation. They've had good, clean kills. They know what they're doing, in other words, not, you know, just any jamoke go down to Walmart and get a bow.
That's right.
And just turn them loose. Not in anybody's yard, obviously.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
You know, mm-hmm. but, you know, put up a feeder in the city park or something and have at it, you know, and, you know, it might not sound like, you know, I'm sure there's people listening going to go, oh, that's not nice. They're this, they're that. And it's, you know, you shouldn't shoot them over bait. And you know what I found out about people who protest hunts, like when deer season opens, when bear season opens, when, you know, I don't know, dinosaur season opens, and they all drive out to the country in their Mercedes and their Beamers, and they all drive home feeling so good about themselves. They virtue signaled to the whole world that they're good, wonderful wildlife people. And the only difference is they haven't hit a deer yet.
That's true.
Because the following year, they're offering to buy hunting licenses for people. Get them things out of the street.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, the thing is, too, is like the first 3 months I lived here, it came down my long road, and all of a sudden this moose just walks right out in front of the car, slam on the brake. Thank goodness I did not hit him. But he just stood there and looked at me. You know, and God forbid if I did hit him, it could have been very, very dangerous for me.
Fatal.
Yes.
Yes. Well, for those who are not from New England, when you hit a deer, it makes a mess and you get hurt and, you know, this, that, and the other thing. When you hit a deer, the odds are pretty good you're not going to survive. A moose, rather.
Yeah.
Because
legs
what
are
happens
very spindly.
Is.
Legs are spindly
and tall.
And they collapse, and they're tall. And the weight of a moose is like what, 900
right
pounds? Something. It's ridiculous.
Oh no, that's a baby.
Yeah,
12 and 1500.
That's
pounds.
Right. Yeah, and you know, so it's like boom. You know, so that's why.
And it's coming right through your windshield. That's right.
True.
And
yes.
But I'll tell you, I did the same thing with a moose that I did, and a bear. I did it with a bear in New Jersey one time. I stopped the car, stuck my head out the window, and said, "Hey." All the Mainas behind me going to work that morning saw me yell at that moose, and they said, "Hey, we can tell you're from away."
Yeah,
you know,
you just sit there and sit there. You wait until he decides to move. You just sit.
Not
there.
Me. Sorry.
I know. You got that New Jersey, and you're still me. I've adapted really well up here. I can say, I am a New Englander, but I love it.
Speaking of Bergen County.
Yeah, let's speak about Bergen County a bit. Because something happened there. Now let me just say this, that this what is happening in this town also is happening in many, many areas of the United States. Okay. Case in point, let's just go with the town that it's occurring in. It's occurring in Cliffside Park, New Jersey. Cliffside Park High School is the high school that I attended. And I spent four happy years there. Well, three, because four. Okay. But it was wonderful. Okay. I enjoyed it. We had our problems, stuff like this. So what happened in Cliffside Park High School last week is that an English teacher told some Spanish kids who were speaking Spanish to speak American. And she also said, I do not know who she was, that American soldiers are dying, not so you can speak Spanish. And I agree with her. Now, obviously, all these little Spanish people were all upset. Oh, my gosh, she's making fun of where I came from and my country. Listen to that, my country. So they did have a walkout this past week. And And they all had flags from the countries that they were from. I did not see an American flag there. Maybe I wasn't looking, but I did not see an American flag. And this is the thing.
Let me catch this for a second. What? Was she a full-timer? I thought the report I read said she was a substitute.
I don't think so, no. I think she's there. She's a regular English teacher. This is what bothers me about this. This is indicative of what is going on in this country at many other high schools. Some high schools out west, you cannot wear any T-shirts or anything that has the United States flag on it because it'll be insulting to people who are Spanish, okay? In other schools, you can't chant USA, USA at basketball games or whatever because you might insult somebody who is not originally from the United States. Listen, people, the fact that these people are insulted means that they have not made the conversion to this country. Means that this country, United States of America, is not their country. Now, when I was there, I graduated in 1974, okay? So, yes, it was a while ago, but folks, that student body was about 92% Italian. Okay, we had people there like myself, second generation American. My mother spoke Italian at home on occasion. We had people first generation whose parents still spoke Italian, and when they went home, they spoke Italian. None of us spoke Italian at school. None of us. And do you know why? Because we all considered ourselves American. We were American, and we may have been of Italian heritage, but we were all American. And we also had some Italians who just came over from Italy, and they did not speak Italian in the schools.
I didn't learn English until after I learned Italian. Yeah,
that's right.
I spoke Italian in school. We also spoke English because my family were all born here. They were all, of course, born over there. I think my father and one sister were born here. The rest were born on the other side. Mm-hmm. But they all became diehard Americans, flag-waving Americans. We did speak Italian in the home, and sometimes if we were a bunch of us together somewhere, we would, a bunch of the guys or, guys and girls, as we get older, we'd go back and forth, Italian, so to speak, half English, half Italian. Mm-hmm. But none of us ever thought to discuss anything in classroom in anything other than English.
That's right.
We just didn't think about it. We just didn't think about it. We're here in school. We speak English.
That's right.
I am famous for when someone says to me, oh, in my country, mm-hmm. Two things. A, what are you doing in mine?
Yeah.
Or B, well, where is your country and why aren't you there?
That's right.
You're in mine now, I could understand if these kids were off the clock kind of a thing, doing whatever it is they're doing, in a hallway or out in the schoolyard, or they don't call it a schoolyard anymore, I suppose, mm-hmm. Or in a quad or wherever they were and they're going back and forth. It's one thing. If they're sitting in a classroom, no, I'm sorry. And if nothing else, if you're speaking back and forth to another person in another language, Italian, Spanish, Latin, or otherwise,
it's rude.
In a classroom, mm-hmm. It's rude.
It is rude.
I was raised to believe that.
Yes.
If there's someone there who doesn't speak the same language, it's rude to speak that language in front of them.
You have the common language, which is English. And
lingua franca.
That's what you speak in the classroom. I was just so horrified that this.
They want to discipline this teacher, right?
Well, they said that they're discussing it. And it turns out that some of the people I went to high school with and that were in my class are now in charge of that. I really think that all of you who did attend Cliffside Park High School and that are on either the school board or head of the school system or a school administrator, I think you better...
Teacher, a principal, and administrator.
You have to take this into account. The fact that, remember, put this back, go back. We were all Italian, folks. We never, ever did that. We never, ever disrespected our teachers and spoke anything else but English in the classroom because, folks, we were considered American, even though we came from...
That's right.
We were considered American.
Well, I was born here, so I considered myself American first.
Right, exactly.
I happen to come from a very deep heritage of Italian culture because of the proximity... of relatives who came here.
Mm-hmm.
But I got to tell you, though, Amory, since we moved here to eastern Pennsylvania, right, mm-hmm. I got to tell you, going to all different places, big box stores, ShopRite, whatever, I encounter people from every corner of the globe.
Yeah.
And it's rare. I mean, I even went past a bunch of teenagers the other day. Mm-hmm. Just sitting there, I don't know if they were, because the bus comes to the front of the shop, right? Mm-hmm. And they're speaking English. They're speaking English.
So? And they should. Why?
And I go, that's my point. I go inside the store, and people back and forth and back, and they're all speaking English.
Well, let me just
I saw one grandmother chastise a little girl in Spanish, but other than that, even when her daughter came back with whatever it was that she was going down the side aisle to pick up and came back to the shopping cart with the grandmother and the granddaughter, she spoke English to the grandmother.
Mm-hmm.
And back and forth. So, and I ran into a woman from Guyana, and I ran into a woman from Guinea, and I ran into a woman from Niger, and we'll get to Niger in a minute. But all these people from all over the place and Jamaica and, all these other, and they're all speaking in English.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess it just goes to make me feel better that these issues that people are facing in the Southwest, in the People's Republic of California, in some of these places, I'm not exposed to. I'm exposed to the true melting pot. The American melting pot
mm-hmm.
here in this part of the world. I'm just so, I loved mm-hmm. Maine. I did. I adored Maine. But in retrospect, it was boring.
Well, I'll be honest with you. Now, when we grew up, and even in my town, as I said, there were a lot of Italians, but many of them mm-hmm. had already made the transition or were making the transition.
Yes.
To becoming Americans. You have people that come over here now, and they do not want to make the transition to becoming American.
No assimilation.
None.
Nope.
None.
No assimilation.
They just want to carve out.
No desire.
They have and this is part of it. And I'll be honest with you, this teacher was criticized for using the word American. Well, you know what? There is the Queen's English, and yes, we do speak English here, but it's American English. If you really want to split hairs over it, for heaven's sake. And if any of these students really, if you're that upset over it, then go back to your home country. And I hope that nothing happens to this woman. But the fact that happened at my high school, and I was reading the demographics, just how much it's changed. Because I'll tell you one thing, even though my town was heavily Italian, we were also heavily American. Our heritage was Italian, but our heart was in America, and we never ever forgot that.
We used to see the occasional Sicilian sticker on a car, the occasional Italian flag sticker on a car.
Yeah, that's got nothing to do with it. That's your heritage.
Just like my car with the Gordon hanging from the rearview mirror, I don't have all the bobblehead saints, but I do still have a Gornude hanging from the mirror. But we used to see stuff like that, the occasional Italian T-shirt, you know, from whatever Forza Siciliana or the Forza Italiana, whatever, you know, the soccer teams and things like that.
Yeah.
But when you walked up and down the streets, you didn't see Italian flicks.
Of course not. No.
You saw American flicks, and not only did you see them, but you saw them. You saw them in droves.
Yes,
in our town.
Of course.
You go up and down the streets, and they were everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but you didn't see Italian flicks. You saw American flicks.
No. Yes, I know.
You know, and
so this bothers
me. You know, when you can't wear an American flag hat on Cinco de Mayo because you might upset somebody.
That's true.
Sorry, but Cinco de Mayo is not. The American people had nothing to do with that battle. We had nothing to do with that war.
Mm-hmm.
It had nothing to do with us.
I know. Nothing.
It's not our holiday.
I know.
Columbus Day is.
Yes. That's true. That is true. And that's the one they're trying to get rid of, right?
Well, a lot of holidays.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of holidays.
Well, that's one of them.
Well, the war on Christmas has already started. For the year.
They're not going to, it's not going to happen. It's really not going to happen.
You know what? Let me just add on to what we were already discussing. And this is an anecdote I know I've told before. Until the day he died at 196 or whatever it was, my nono my grandmother became a citizen of the United States. My grandfather came here the first time 1905. And by the time he was done back and forth, bringing his family over and stuff like that, because he, you know, face it, he's an Italian Catholic man. He had kids, you know. By the time he had finished, it was 1921. In 1928, I think it was, my nonna became an American citizen.
Right.
My grandfather never did. Until the day he died, and he died in January, my uncle used to have to go down to the post office, get the little alien registration card, fill it all out, have Grandpa put his X on it because he was illiterate, and bring it back down to post office, alien registration.
Right.
Every January, right? Mm-hmm. And I asked when my uncles, there were still two or three of them alive, and my father, we were all sitting there, and I said, well, why did Grandpa never become a citizen? And it was because he felt, you know, two or three things, including his illiteracy. He felt he didn't deserve it.
Hmm. Oh, my goodness. And, you know, that's the type of person that should have become a citizen.
That he didn't want to assimilate into American society. He didn't deserve it.
Yeah, and that now we have all these people coming over here, and they're demanding. You know, they're demanding that they get entitlements. They're demanding that they get things for free. They're demanding that we give up things for them. Although, all I can say is Cliffside Park High School, use your brain. You know what?
Yeah,
sit on these students and say, listen, you're here in this country. Love this country. You don't love it? Leave, sweeties. Okay, finito.
There it is.
Finito. Okay, let's go on to something else. Oh.
You were starting to... interrupted you.
No. There's so much going on here. God, there's so much going on in this world that we have not. Let me ask you a question. Why would anybody who was part or and wounded by a shooter who basically committed the most heinous mass murder in our history, why would he go on a TV show that's strictly for entertainment and not something that has to do with news? I speak of Jesus Campos, who decided in his initial, by the way, canceling his interviews with Sean Hannity and a few other people. He winds up on Ellen DeGeneres Show.
Yep.
I guess they
after canceling five interviews and then being disappeared,
mm-hmm.
you know, he had quote unquote disappeared, and then he turns up and on Ellen. Can you say manipulated?
Well, one, manipulated, two, promised a softball interview. I mean, because, you know, Ellen DeGeneres is not exactly what you would call hard hitting or that intelligent.
Yeah.
I mean, she's an entertainer.
She's not Mike Wallace.
Huh?
She's not Mike Wallace, you know?
Yeah, it's, I know. Not by a long shot. But you see, that's the thing. I mean, he shows up there. This horrific thing happens, and all of a sudden he disappears. I'm thinking what they did was... this worries me on two fronts. One, the fact that he's easily manipulated, perhaps. Or two, this is not the real truth. This is not the real story.
Well, one thing I want to bring up, and believe me, the last thing I want to do is add tinfoil to the layers here.
I'll be honest with you, Lou. Come on. Within 24 hours of any other terror attack, we had the people identified. Their backgrounds were known. We knew exactly why they did it. And now it's how long? And we know nothing. And what they're doing, listen to what they're doing. They are taking apart Paddock's brain, trying to find some mental illness. I hate to tell you, they're not going to find anything, because I really don't think his motivation for doing this was, you know, that he snapped. I really don't.
Well, let me tell you something. Anybody that does something like that, whether it's him or Dylann Roof or Tim McVeigh or anybody, you know, you don't have to look for mental illness. These people were nuts.
Yeah, but Dylann Roof, Dylann Roof, exactly. But we knew why he did it, all right?
Yeah.
Paddock, we still don't know.
You're still got to be nuts to do it.
I know.
That's
true. That's true.
One of the very earliest videos, which I don't know if I could still find. I don't know if anybody could still find. One of the very earliest videos, like the next day, I think it was, after this tragedy, showed the law enforcement explosive breach of the hotel room door.
Okay.
And I guess it was body cam footage. Now, I haven't looked for it again, so full disclosure, I don't know if it is or isn't out there. I remember watching them do it because, you know, I'm into things blowing up. You know, that's what I like to do. You know, so anyhow, they did this explosive breach of the hotel room door. You know, and it's like, breach, 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 and they all back up out of the way because it's messy.
Right.
I didn't see any bullet holes in that door.
Really?
And I noticed stuff like that. I mean, there was the two charges on the hinges, the one on the knob, and it breached, breached, breached before they, you know, made it happen. And I don't remember seeing any bullet holes in that door.
That's interesting. I'm going to have to try and find that video and maybe put it on site and see what, you know. That's interesting.
Oh, see, now
an
Englishman who is now an American was on one of the interview shows yesterday, and he said that maybe he didn't shoot through the door. Maybe he shot through the thin sheetrock next to the door.
Okay.
So that I couldn't see because there were SWAT officers in the way, but, you know, the door from this side and the wall next to it didn't have any holes in it.
Yeah.
So... what this guy knows and what he doesn't and what he's been told to say and what he's been told not to say, I don't know. I don't want to add, like I said, tinfoil. Now, supposedly this other girl who confirmed the second shooter was not injured, was not wounded. A couple of days later, you know, was supposed to, you know, give a deposition, and she turned up dead.
What were the circumstances of her death? I mean, was she just...
I don't know.
Was she shot or was she...
No, she just died.
Oh gosh.
And then this other woman who said that it had to be a second shooter because she was injured in the legs and this thing. I think, well, I think I explained this last time out, although it didn't get published. So I would no longer consider myself in this day and age, if I were subpoenaed, I would no longer have any attorney in their right mind saying we'd like to have Lou qualified as an expert witness, because I'm not an expert anymore, but I used to be. I got to tell you something about the 223 Remington 5.56 millimeter ball ammunition used in these, typically in these rifles, carbines.
Okay. Right?
At 100 to 120 meters, you can deflect with a phone book.
Ah.
What probably got these people in the legs and their butts is Ricochet.
Oh, okay.
Because the guy is sweeping this crowd. Mm-hmm. And when you're firing, whether it's real full auto or bump-fired full auto or trained trigger-finger full-ish auto, you're still talking about a machine that makes noise. You're still talking about a machine. Yes, it has a lot less recoil than an M1 Garand rifle, but it still has recoil. Mm-hmm. It still moves the muzzle up and down and back and forth and mm-hmm. things like that. So, you know, if you're hosing a crowd, some of them are going to go high, some of them are going to go low, some are going to go wide, either way. You know, so, you know, as far as this second shooter scenario, a lot of people are very tickled to hear that the final investigation Warren report files are supposed to come out, and now the CIA wants them buried for another 25 years. I think we're going to see the same thing with this. I don't think we're ever going to know what really happened. And I don't think I don't think anybody at the echelons in question care that we don't know. They'll allow everybody to walk around, you know, patting each other on their tinfoil hat, you know, and you know, for the next 25 years.
Well, you know, the FBI is not the FBI that it used to be. Well, you know, it isn't. And there's just so much. What can I say about the FBI? I mean, seriously, something's going on, Lou. I hate to do the tinfoil hat thing, but why don't we know more information? Why do we? Can you tell me? I don't know.
This is not Ephraim Zimbalist Jr.'s FBI.
Well, no, I mean,
but I don't look. I watched. I watched some clips of Attorney General Sessions yesterday or day before, you know, at the House.
Right.
I guess it's a Judicial Committee mm-hmm. hearing where he had, you know, issues with Al Franken, you know, among others.
Oh, God, Al and, Franken, yeah.
Well, the thing is, he turned around and said, you know, first of all, he said, I need to be able to respond to the question, because this is what happens. Al Franken, Maxine Waters, Kamala Harris, they harangue, mm-hmm. and they don't allow you to answer the question, because they're afraid of the answer.
That's right, and they interrupt.
So they push their agenda, and I reclaim my time, you know, or however the one put it. You know, they harangue like that until their time expires. The question didn't get answered, but they look like they were hardcore, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
And I think Attorney General Sessions saw through that.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, I think he had it, you know. So it's just like, okay.
But I think that if people would just get out of the way, I think the FBI could become the FBI it used to be.
Well, you know what?
Just like I think that all the alphabet soup agencies can indeed return to their former glory.
They have to be cleaned out. Seriously, they have
to
be cleaned out. I mean, from top to bottom. You know, they're a disgrace. All of them are a disgrace.
And not with a garden hose, a pressure washer.
Yeah. Yes, exactly. Yeah, they were all a disgrace. I mean, the FBI especially. I'm looking at what's going on here. I mean, now it turns out that the FBI had evidence in 2009 that there was collusion between Hillary Clinton and the Russians and Obama.
2009. There were some of these things that involved the Clinton Foundation. Go back to
Clinton
O5.
Foundation. And everybody's like, oh, gee, oh. Nothing to see here, folks. But, you know, we think that Donald Trump colluded with the Russians to get elected. And it's like, excuse me, wait a minute, stop, folks. This is serious. You have no proof. I really think what they're trying to do, the media, is they're trying, and the Democrats are accusing Trump of exactly what they're guilty of.
Yep.
And that's a very Marxist and Soviet communist way of doing things. You always accuse your opponent of what you're guilty of. Amazing.
Exactly, and
amazing.
I think a lot of this goes, you know, when they talk about all these things, including yellowcake uranium, mm-hmm. whatever the compound is, being, they said, oh, it's not really that we gave them 20% of uranium. We just gave them 20% control of uranium one. It's all being monitored and carefully this, that, and the other
thing. Oh, yeah, just like Iran. Just like Iran, right? And
just
then
like
nuclear weapons. Yeah, you know, we're all that's going to, some of it's going to be sold to Iran. Some of it's going to be sold to North Korea. Come on, give me a break. I mean,
these things that, you know, and then, you know, all of a sudden, the $200,000 former President Clinton would get for a speaking engagement in Moscow went to $500,000 or $600,000, whatever it was. Mm-hmm. All kinds of people who were affiliated with all kinds of agencies and all kinds of companies are dumping money, fistfuls of money, yeah, into the Clinton Foundation.
That's right.
You know, all this stuff going on. And how do you you're right. It's that whole thing, accuse your enemy of your sin.
Mm-hmm.
And it's classic water muddying. You know,
yes,
it's classic stirring
exactly
up the mud from the bottom of the swamp.
Mm-hmm.
And I think what Attorney General Sessions should, if he hasn't done it already after he left the House chamber the other day, the House committee room the other day, I think the next thing he should do is turn around and say, I'm appointing a special counsel, I'm appointing a special prosecutor, I'm impaneling a grand jury,
mm-hmm,
you know, and you know, because now I understand there's more emails, etc., transcripts of stuff.
Yes.
The Clinton Lynch tarmac meeting.
Yes, there is like 2,800 emails, I believe, or something like that.
And then I think the 2,800, I think, is the emails that they found on Wiener's computer.
That's right. Yes, I stand corrected. Yeah. Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. Speaking of the swamp, you have John McCain again coming out rearing his ugly little head and slamming Trump again and also making a comment that, you know, I worked better with Obama than I do with Trump. Of course you do.
Well, there's a surprise.
Yeah, you're a socialist Democrat. And, you know, it's like, you know, McCain, your time was over 15 years, 20 years ago. Just leave,
yep,
okay? But this is,
yep,
this is his mission. His mission is to try and bring Trump down before he drops dead. And if that offends anybody,
well, there's that.
Hey.
And I know this is in the one that got hosed, but Bannon,
mm-hmm,
you know, basically said McCain, McConnell, Flake, Collins, Murkowski, we're coming for you.
Yep.
You know, we're coming for you.
And the thing is that
we're going to primary, you know, we're going to support your primary opponents in every one of your critical districts.
Although Susan Collins isn't running again, I don't think. I think she might be running for governor of Maine.
Nope. She's running again.
She's running again. She's not running for governor. Oh, my gosh.
Nope.
Okay. All
well,
right.
She realized she didn't have a snowball's chance anywhere in the world, let alone hell.
But they could probably manipulate the vote for that.
The,
yeah. You know what? She could probably get college students, right?
Well, yeah. But the only way she could have survived the fight, not saying win,
mm-hmm,
but survived the fight was to run as an independent like King.
Ah. Okay.
Because if she had to go through a primary fight in Maine as a Republican, she'd have never got there. Because anybody, any back at a barbershop room Republican is definitely more of a Republican than Susan Collins is. So she knew she wouldn't survive a primary fight. And she probably got told that, you know, the Republicans would have a primary and nominate someone. And they did have, I don't remember the names, but they did have guys who had pretty good credentials as far as I was concerned. And of course, the Democrats would run someone. And with a strong Democrat and a strong Republican, any Republican, running, that she couldn't drag it out as an independent. So she probably said, you know what, the heck with it. I'll just stay in the Senate. Which, I'm sorry, but she's going to be opposed in that, both by Republicans and Democrats. And hopefully we keep a Republican, or we put a Republican in there, because if we get a Democrat, nothing's going to change.
That's true.
But
you do have to get the right kind of Republican, too. You have to get somebody who is going to work with Donald Trump, who wants to work with Donald Trump. because she's just one of those. She's one of, you know, her, McCain, and the rest of them. All they want to do is just stymie Trump's
efforts
power and everything. Yes, they want to keep that. See, so it has nothing to do with working for the American citizen. It has to do with just keeping their power. And McCain I swear to God, I think he's working hand in hand with Hillary Clinton too. Oh God, I got a whole bunch to say about Hillary. Let's not forget Hillary. You know, and the way he's coming out and he just keeps criticizing everything that Donald Trump does, says, and everything. And Donald Trump has warned him, you know, I'm only going to take so much and I'm going to come back fighting. And I don't blame the man. Oh, and by the way, now, at this point in time, very few people look upon John McCain as a hero. So, because more, you know, because due to the internet and everything, everything has come out about his past and exactly what he's done.
Well, there's that, and there's also the fact that even the people who turn around and say, you know, oh, you know, we admire Senator McCain, and, you know, as a war veteran, none of them are using the word hero anymore. None of them are saying war hero, war veteran, you know, because you can't really disparage, huh?
He wasn't a hero.
Well, no, but the idea is that he, you know, he did fight. He did, you know, go. He did fight. He, you know, whatever. So he is an honorable war veteran. He's not a hero,
he's
but
a
he's
war
a
veteran.
So, but
that's about it.
But we stop. But I'm starting to notice, and I notice things like this.
I know you do.
That they're not all lined up when they're in an interview, and you know, subject of John McCain comes up. They use words like veteran and war veteran, and you know, warrior, and this and the other thing. They don't use the word war hero anymore the way they used to. Because there are enough people. It's like Kerry, you know, awarding himself purple hearts and stuff. You know, that came out with the Swift Boat people.
Uh-huh.
You know, there's enough out there. You know, like you said, it's the internet. You know, you can't get away with nothing anymore.
That's true.
You know, so you know, when it comes right down to it, as far as I'm concerned, you know, people like McCain and Collins, specifically McCain and Collins, Owen Graham, you know. Are the reason the word rhino was coined.
That's true.
You know, Republican name only.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I think, you know, you look in a dictionary under rhino and you see a page of these people's picture.
I agree. Everybody knows who they are. Yeah.
Yeah, especially if you live in one of their districts.
Yep, exactly. you know, this little, and I'll probably tick off a lot of people by this next statement, but this little drama that is going on in Hollywood. Not that I don't believe that Harvey Weinstein did all this stuff to the women that are now coming out, but I'll be honest, I really cannot sympathize. I really can't. I can't feel sorry for these women. Because all these women are talking about this happening when they were young actresses and all this other stuff. And you know how they say, like, people realize they're at a crossroads in their life? And they realize if they go one direction, do one thing, this will happen, or if you go in the other direction. Well, they made the decision to give up their self-respect for a career in Hollywood.
Right.
They did. All of them did.
Yep.
So I'm sorry, ladies. I don't have this hashtag Me Too, you know, that everybody's floating around now, who's been either, you know, patted on the butt by Harvey Weinstein or raped or whatever. You did have a choice. You gave up your self-respect and your body to have a film career. And this is the way Hollywood is. The proverbial casting couch.
Yep.
Is real.
Yep. It's not new.
No, this is not new. This is not new. Some women didn't, though. Some women didn't. But some women did. And there's a whole bunch out there now in which, you know, they're...
As far as the hashtag is concerned, I'll tell you how I feel about it. There are enough women out there that, you know, this is what they did. I get it. But there are also women out there who have been, taken advantage of, or, assaulted, abused, accosted, have you. Mm-hmm. And they deserve to use that hashtag because they didn't have a life-altering career going from, you know, a casting couch to a million-dollar role. They just had to put up with, you know, a crappy job with a perv for a boss, and they had to feed their kids. And that, you know, as long as they didn't go as far as the casting couch with the guy.
Well, no, no. Don't get me wrong. Don't get me wrong. No, no, no. There are women out there who, unfortunately, they're at the mercy of their boss because they do have the two or three children at home, and they are single mothers. And this is their, you know, their career options are limited. Their job options are limited because of either lack of education or whatever, okay? Life sometimes throws horrible things at you. And sometimes you find yourself in a position that is very hard to get out of, especially when you are burdened by responsibilities. No, I'm talking about specifically Hollywood. That's what I'm talking about. And now I guess they expect now that all of us are just going to rush to their side and feel so sorry for them that we're going to go out and watch all their movies now, and that is not going to happen.
No, I have no
sympathy for you people. I'm sorry, ladies. These are the same people, including Ashley Judd, who stood up right before the inauguration and was calling Donald Trump every nasty word in the book. You know, rapist, sexual assaulter, everything like this. I mean, he never did anything to her. Yet the man who actually put his hands on her and everything, oh, gee, that was fine because what? You probably got a few contracts out of it.
Well, there's the old, we used to hear it all the time in the world of industry. You know, you'd hear about some woman who was up there in the ranks, and, you know, they didn't used to call it breaking through the glass ceiling. They used to call it slept her way to the top.
That's right.
You know, and then you also got Hillary Clinton the other day calling him the assaulter in chief. But all Bill stuff is in the past.
Yeah.
You know.
You know why?
Well, that locker room chat was 15 years ago. How much in the past you got to go?
I know. And we don't know how many women now have been assaulted by Bill Clinton since he left the White House. I'll bet you there's still a number of them. Come on. You think he's going to stop?
There was a picture of Huma and Hillary seated at dinner somewhere on opposite sides of Weinstein, and it said, "Here's two women who make a living on, you know, expounding women's rights with a sexual predator. Oh, by the way, they're both married to sexual predators."
That's right.
You know, so accusing your opposition of your sin. Here we go again, right?
Yep, exactly. You know, it's really, you look at these women, you look at Hillary. You look at the women in Hollywood that kept this under wraps for 10, 20, 30 years, and now they're breathing a sigh of relief, you know, with their hand on their forehead going, "Oh, my goodness, you know, I'm so glad I brought this up," you know, the old drama queens, literally. And
the best they can come up with against President Trump is that he said something mean in an open mic Bush, and it got, "Oh, you know, yeah, you're amazing what you could do." All they have is a clip of some locker room talk among boys.
Exactly.
Which there are doggone few men out there that can say they didn't talk like that about some girl in school when they were 15.
That's right. Older, are you kidding?
You know, but that's all they've got. Now, that's all they've got. And yet, we've got, you know, former President Clinton, we've got this clown Weinstein, Woody Allen, Roman Polanski.
Woody Allen. Woody Allen's coming out condemning Harvey Weinstein. Really?
Yeah. And you've got all these women who were so freaked out about the fact that he said that women across the country put on foam rubber suits in the shape of feminine genitalia. And hats that were supposed to look like some cross between a cat's ears and a uterine X-ray.
Yeah.
And, you know, all this marching and carrying on, you know, And yet, here we've got people who did it. Mm-hmm. To the women who started all this noise.
That's right. That's right.
And now it's woe is me.
Yeah, exactly.
No, it's not yeah. now it's woe is you. Now it's, see, we got you. It's not woe is you. It's, busted.
Yeah.
You hypocrites.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, talk out both sides of your mouth, right? You know. So
they do.
They
do. That's you know. What they're doing.
And look at Madonna, right? Right, wanted to blow up the White House. Look at what's her name that was a Disney princess and turned out to be, you know, with the tongue like the guy in Kiss.
Miley Cyrus,
right?
Miley.
And you got the other, and it's always a shame when it's a woman, right? Lady Gaga, right? Her name is like Maria Luisa something. She's an Italian girl, right? You got all these women who stood there and said, you know, Donald Trump, you know, demeaned the image of women, you know, destroyed the image of women, set back women's rights by, you know, 100 years. Wait. Have you ever watched any of their video clips, their stage shows, their stuff like that?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Madonna videos in the 80s were rough.
That's true.
You know, this Cyrus girl with
they were downright pornographic. Are you kidding?
Inflatable genitalia and rubbing up against, you know, random dancers on her stage, you know, dressed in, you know, stuff that I wouldn't even count as underwear, you know, let alone swimwear. And, you know, this Lady Gaga is you know, I don't know if she's quite pornographic, but boy, she's definitely not something they're going to show, you know, at the CYO, you know, movie night.
That's
you know,
true.
I mean, working on damaging the image of women. He could have come out to the podium at the White House and said what he said in that locker room chat. He couldn't do enough to damage the image of women that these girls do on a daily basis.
That's true. They do. Their actions, yes. They're the ones that are doing the real damage, Lou.
And I get it all the time on social media. Well, you know, they're not the ones who are president of the United States. Maybe not. But do you think for a second it doesn't influence, I don't know, every girl from 7 to 17 to 27? You think it doesn't influence every boy from 9 to 25? You got to be kidding yourself.
No, you're right upon. You're right about that. You're right about that. I just think that all of this is going to blow up in their face because so many people now are showing a comparison between their comments about Donald Trump and what happened in their lives, and they never reported it.
They can't even depend on the mainstream media to cover for them anymore.
No. I just
even the mainstream media, you know.
Yeah, Hollywood's falling apart. The Democrats are falling apart.
It used to make me happy when you'd catch them chasing, you know, you'd catch the liberals, the ACLU or something, you know, defending somebody they didn't really like, but they had to because of civil liberties,
mm-hmm.
you know. And it always used to amuse me to watch the left chasing its own tail. Now they're eating their own.
Oh, yeah, it's great. I love it. They're eating their own. I think it's fantastic. And I love seeing the disintegration of these organizations, which has done nothing but lecture to America. The Democrats, that's all they ever do is lecture to America, lecture to us at how selfish we are and how we're not supposed to be patriotic. And then you have Hollywood lecturing us on, you know, that we have to treat all these illegals the same and that we have to make sure that every woman has birth control and abortion. And, you know, that's all they do. All they do is lecture us. That's all they've been doing for years.
Yeah.
And finally, Americans have said enough. And this latest Harvey Weinstein scandal has shown just how empty a society they are. They're empty in morals.
Do they understand?
They're empty in just not only morals, but just, I don't know. they're empty. They don't have a soul, these people.
Because they don't understand, they don't understand the logical fallacy of walking down the street at a quote unquote women's march, which by the way nowadays in college campuses are called slut walks.
There you go, right of, there, of, Lou. Of what you just said. Wait a minute, Lou. What you just said, slut walks. They have done. They have. Yeah. Look what they've done to the culture in America.
They have these quote unquote slut walks where they walk around. They cover just enough of themselves to be legal, and they say, no matter how we're dressed, no means no, this, that, and the other thing, and it's called a slut walk. And it's usually, as a matter of fact, generally speaking, it's usually a bunch of women who probably couldn't get a date anyway. So, you know, I mean, the orange hair, the nose ring, you know, yeah. The first world problem glasses, you know, all that stuff.
Right.
But they don't see the logical fallacy of walking down the street in a sandwich board, the front of which says, government, stay out of my, internal
uterus.
Organs.
Uterus, they say.
And then on the, stay out of my uterus. And then on the back, the same woman in the same sandwich board says, free birth control.
I know. It's like, hello? I mean, you want to talk about being a hypocrite?
There's just a certain logical, you know, the disingenuousness to that.
Mm-hmm.
And people say, oh, well, you know, how come birth control isn't covered by, Medicare, Medicaid, whatever program, you know. But things like Viagra are, well, as far as I'm concerned, that shouldn't be covered either.
No, well, wait a minute. You know, Viagra was originally a drug for, I believe, heart disease? I believe it was. This was a bonus. Found that a bonus from the prescription. Found that it helped out ED. But originally,
all right, listen.
This had something to do. Seriously, Lou. You know, it's like, for example, wait a minute. Wait a minute. Let me just say, there are times that a birth control is used for women who have heavy monthly flows. Nothing else works.
Oh,
that,
I realize.
Should be covered. But as far as using birth control and you just so you can go out and, you know, have sex with 25 million guys, and by the way, it's only 99.9% effective and there's always that 0.1%. And if you get pregnant, then I still have to pay for the abortion. Come on.
No. See, that's it. You keep out of my uterus unless I want something that's in there taken out. Then I
exactly.
want it for free.
Yes.
Then I want you to pay for it. You know, or if I don't want it there in the first place, I want you to pay for that. You know, as far as I'm concerned, look, I understand that Viagra does have medical uses. If I go down to my doctor next weekend, and he says, Lou, look, we've been going over your chart. We looked at this EKG. We're going to have to put you on something. What are you going to put me on? You know, I don't know. Well, we're going to put you on Viagra because it has this effect. You know, and originally it was designed for this.
Mm-hmm.
You know, all right. You know, I can't complain because I don't have any problem in that department anyway. But, you know, if he says, we're going to put you on it for your heart disease, well then, okay, doc, fine, write the script, I'll go get him. You know, if a woman has a problem, and I do know, that's why I said it, I'm not, you know, blind to this. I do know women that have been on birth control in the past, not just because of heavy, but erratic.
Mm-hmm.
It's also used as an HRT thing in women that are approaching menopause. I understand that. If you've got a medical reason that you need this, fine, cover it.
Mm-hmm.
If you've got a medical reason you need Viagra, fine, cover it. If you've got a medical reason, that's not the same thing.
That's right.
If you're just using it to, you know, because of you want to play, if you want to play, then you can pay.
That's right.
You know,
exactly.
It's all there is to it.
It's your responsibility.
That's right. You know, why don't I just go buy you movie tickets? You want to go to a movie. That's not my problem. Well, yes, it is. You got to buy my movie tickets. No, I don't have to, you know, I want to go down to the racket club. Well, okay, go ahead. Have a nice time. Well, you got to pay for it. No, I don't.
I know.
You know, it's like, what's next? Wait a minute. What's next if the guys turn around and say, well, you know, if you're going to get birth control covered, I'm going to get Viagra covered. And if you're going to get an abortion covered, I can get, what am I going to do? Get down to the adult store and buy dirty adult movies? And have the government pay for those too? Is that what's next?
I know. They're getting ridiculous. Seriously, no. I mean, this is it. You know, this is not women's health care, okay? Using the pill to prevent pregnancy is not women's health care. That is a personal choice on whether or not you have sex. It is a personal choice. Okay, you don't have to have sex, okay? However, your body is going to undergo changes in which you may develop uterine cancer, breast cancer, and that's why I say women's health encompasses all the tests that are necessary to detect these illnesses. That is women's health. Birth control pills...
Funny story.
...are not if they're used Funny for story. Contraceptive. What?
In Maine,
yes.
All right, when I got my... Medicare, you know, stuff straightened out and stuff. I got a letter from the state of Maine.
Yeah.
That there was a program that would give me free mammogram and free pap smear every other year because I was on Medicare. It's a program they have in Maine.
Pap smear? A pap smear?
For what it's worth, it came to Louise.
Oh my gosh. Oh, my gosh, hello. Did you get a sex change and I didn't know about it? I think that would be a surprise to Debbie.
If it was a surprise to me. So,
you know, and Debbie's downright shocked, right?
Right. It's obviously a clerical error. But I'll tell you, in Maine, they have a program where if you're on Medicare... there's a state program that will pay for, I think it's every other year, maybe it's every 3 years, I don't know, whatever it is, every 6 weeks, I don't know how
And that's
it is.
Fine, but that's fine.
That will pay for, yeah, that's women's health.
That's right.
That is women's health. Mm-hmm. Or, as you said, you know, because there are times when, you know, birth control pills are used for, I guess it's off-label use at that point, you know, Viagra, which now, I guess if it started out as a heart medication, now heart medication would actually be considered an off-label use. there are things like that that, yes, absolutely, if you've got Medicare or, you know, God help you, if you're on Medicaid or something like that, then you know what? Then, okay, absolutely. Or if you're in a group plan through your college or something and you've got a problem in either direction and you need this medication as medication.
That's right.
And I'm not even getting into the pro-life, pro-choice, whatever argument here. I'm just saying that these are like, look, I take almost 4 grand worth of prescriptions a month. Mm-hmm. I can't stop any of them.
I know.
And they're medically necessary. So I get my Part D or whatever, and I fill out the little forms, and I, you know, get the deal on it. And that some of them come from some, you know, factory, you know, programs from some of the drug companies, and some of them come through the Part D, and some of it, you know, but, you know, so it saves me quite a bit of money. But none of them are pertinent to me going out and having a nice time.
Right. Exactly. Exactly.
This has nothing to do with pro-life, pro-choice. It has to do with what the hell, I mean, what are you charging me for your, you know, good time?
Mm-hmm. That's what it is.
No, yeah. I'll tell you what. Here, I'm not going to pay for your birth control, but here's the ticket I got at the nightclub last night. It's for 2 free drinks. Go ahead, use it up. Have a nice time. You know, but that's it. It's voluntary for me to give them.
That's right.
My coupon from whatever nightclub I was at, not the last time, I can't think of the last time I was in a nightclub, and when I was working, so I wasn't drinking. So, I can't think of the last time I actually went as a patron to a nightclub. I mean, you know, as a DJ, you know, all over the place, hell yeah, but no, not as a patron.
Do you know? Wait a minute. Do you know? Oh, man, you just reminded me of an article that I read last week about nightclubs. Did you know that there are a bunch of nightclubs out there now that basically cater to those people who are in their 40s and their 50s and, you know, and bringing back a lot of the 70s and 80s stuff now, including old disco stuff.
Oh, good God. Tell me where. Well, I don't disco, but new wave and I
Well, but yeah, no, well, the 80s, the 80s new wave stuff. And the thing is, it's great because these people just don't sit there and just get bombed, you know, they actually dance, they have a good time, you know, because we were the generation that did that. We went to a nightclub to have a good time, not to sit there and get blotto. you know?
I just thought of the last time I was in a nightclub. I was in a nightclub in Newark, New Jersey called QXT.
Mm-hmm.
It's on Mulberry Street. Mm-hmm. And I went as a patron, although I did go to scope it out because I want, you know, there was, you know, you get into this circle and who's already working a gig there and, you know, they're going to have an opening on Thursday nights, you know, and so you talk. And I didn't, you know, hey, I don't just walk in blind and say, yeah, I want this Thursday night gig. I walked in and I, you know, I walked around on the place and I saw all the off-duty cops working PBA duty. You know, and I realized I knew one of the guys. So I walked, I mean, what the hell are you doing here? I said, well, I'm scoping it out. I said, I'm a DJ now, and I thought maybe I'd like to, you know, pick up a gig here. He says, you don't want a gig here? I said, oh, okay, fine. But that's the last time I was actually a paying customer in a, well, it was a goth club. And I guess that was on Friday nights it was goth, and on Thursday nights it was something else. I don't remember. And a couple other nights during the week, it was disco, because people don't realize this, but disco never really did actually die. It just kind of went back on the ground, which is where it belongs, you know, crawled back under its rock.
Hey!
But no, Debbie and I were talking in the car today. We were talking about music because she had the radio on, which is something we don't generally do. We generally talk. And, you know, we were talking about the different decades. And, you know, the 80s music, you know, the late 70s and stuff, when we had the, you know, disco was out, new wave had started, the new romantic movement had started, you know, all that kind of stuff. People went to nightclubs and they danced.
Yes.
Even boys would start dancing. Yes. Not like, you know, it used to be even in the 60s.
When I was in the disco. No, even, I mean, you know, don't forget, the disco craze when I was in college was, you know, off and running here, folks. And the guys danced at the discos. Seriously. Yeah. You know, I mean, and even in the 80s, you know, people went and we danced. You know?
I'm talking about going back to the 60s and the CYO and stuff. You know, guys all lined up on one side, girls all lined up on the other side.
That's a long time. That's a very long time ago.
The guys with their leather jackets over in the corner, you know, dancing, you know, kind of a thing.
No, but they did. The late 70s, the 80s, I think it was great for music.
Yeah, well, the thing is, though, here's because we digress, who would have thunk?
I know. Here we go again. Oh, my gosh. All right.
I
think this is fun. We've got to talk about this.
If I got a chit from a nightclub for two drinks and I didn't use it, and you're going tonight, and I was there last, and I hear, take my ticket. You know,
that's right.
By the way, you gave me a ticket for two drinks. Yeah. Oh, you got some birth control, too? No, I ain't buying you birth control. Get out of here.
Are you getting back on topic? Okay. So I guess so much for our, you know, nostalgic look at dancing and music.
Oh, no, there's nothing. Look, I used to ruin it for the guys at the CYO dance and stuff because I'd throw them my leather jacket and go out and dance. Got to remember, I had dancing lessons as a kid.
Thank God for your mother. Really?
My mother, there was an ulterior motivation there.
What?
Well, first of all, my mother and father are dancers. They love to dance, always have, still do.
Oh.
You know, even when they're all by themselves, Frank Sinatra comes on and they still, you know, dance together. You know, Tony Bennett, you know, something kind of a thing. I saw a thing. I'll get into this record store in a minute. But they were kind of hoping that I'd be able to do things like walk across the living room without falling down and hurting myself if I had dance lessons.
Well, so you used to walk across the living room and fall down and hurt yourself?
Yeah, I was a bit of a spaz.
So in other words, you were a genuine klutz.
I was a klutz. You know, no two ways about it. And it did help because when I fell down, at, you know, three beats to the bar. You know, I made it look good.
It was done gracefully, right?
Gracefully, right.
I meant to do that.
That's right.
A new step.
Didn't I look good? I did it with aplomb and panache. You know, aplomb and a panache. Because I was swaving the boner.
Oh. Oh, wow. Yeah. So, yes. So you did take part. And all the guys hated you.
Yes,
and the
I did.
And the girls loved you.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Guys used to want to go to the dances with me because, you know, I guys always wanted me to teach them how to dance. I'm like, no. You know, go take some lessons. You know, they're free. You know, go take lessons. You know, I mean,
no, I am not holding you in my arms. Absolutely not.
Exactly. I went to Lippo Brothers Academy on Halsey Street in Newark, but, you know, there's an Arthur Murray over here. There's a Fred Astaire mm-hmm. over there. They're all over the place, you know, mm-hmm. Kind of a thing. So, you know, I actually danced at places like Starland and stuff. I mean, you know.
No, really?
No, not professionally, just out with family and,
yeah,
and stuff
I know.
Like that.
Yeah.
Over.
Oh.
Yeah. So, I mean, granted it was, you know, Lawrence Welk on the bandstand, but it was
still
remember Lawrence Welk? Yeah, opened a record
your
store
mother,
in Phillipsburg.
Did your mother proud?
Oh, she's still proud.
Oh, I know.
But not of everything, but of my dancing, yes. She
okay.
They opened a record store in Phillipsburg, New Jersey.
Uh-huh.
Not a plug here because I actually haven't been there yet, but it popped up on my social media in the old Phillipsburg Mall, which is like 85% empty, like a lot of the malls in this country. So
yeah,
I guess
exactly.
they're giving space away for nothing. So,
exactly.
Actually, I used to for about three Christmas seasons. I worked at the Radio Shack there part time because
no
I enjoyed it.
And they like adding,
yeah, yeah, right? You know, yeah. Well, the two things. First of all, it was fun. Mm-hmm. Second of all, they'd always call me when somebody walked in and actually wanted an electronic component, mm-hmm. you know, because most of the people who worked there wouldn't know a resistor from a capacitor from a coil, you know, so, you know, choke from, you know,
yep.
anything else. So they always liked having me around. So, but it was fun. It actually was, you know, because it was different for me, mm-hmm. you know, so I worked at that Radio Shack. So anyway, now there's a record store in there called Spin Me Round.
Mm.
And get this.
What?
It's records.
Vinyl, huh?
It's not CDs. It's not MP3s. It's vinyl.
Wow. They're coming back. No, people are
yep.
saying. And turntables are being made again.
Yep.
And people are looking for, you know, old turntables. I know that. Yeah.
Well, my turntables... I wish I still had my turn from when I started being a DJ.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, you know, two turntables and a microphone. From what I understand, if I still had them, which I don't because I got into digitalized mm-hmm. music, I got into CDs very early on, sold my turntables. I sold them for $200 a piece.
Mm-hmm.
All right, that was in the early 90s.
Mm-hmm.
But they're probably worth about $2,500 a piece right now.
Oh, geez, Louise. Oh, man.
So, you know, I wish I had them. And my brother had, but it didn't work out so well. He had one that you played a record and it turned it into an MP3.
Oh. Have you looked at the website of this place?
I haven't looked up the website. I see their social media presence.
My God. I'm looking at the pictures here. They are stacked. From ceiling to floor with these
yes,
things.
Yes, she is.
No, I'm not talking
yes, she is.
About
I've
her.
Seen.
I'm talking about the floor.
Oh.
I know. I saw the picture too, dear. You're such a man. You know that, Lou? You are such a man.
Well, there goes that sex change theory. Yours doesn't.
There you go. There you go. Yeah, actually, that looks fun. You know, I've been kind of, if I go out and about, and I see a whole bunch of vinyl. I go and start rifling through it, see if there's anything in there that I want to bring home. Because I've actually been using my turntable more to listen to old albums and stuff I have. I never got rid of my albums. Never. I never got rid of my turntable. I bought this turntable in 1982. And it's still good. I believe it's a JVC.
I've got...
We've got direct drive.
I think I still have one of those leatherette 45 cases.
Oh my gosh.
You know, yeah. with the dividers and mm-hmm. you put your 45 up in the
I threw mine out.
Back room.
It was broken.
I think
yeah.
I still have. Mm-hmm. No, we've still got it. No, well, wow. We've still got it because it's still full of records. Mm. And we still got it. The problem is the old turntable in the old stereo mm-hmm. needs a needle.
Yes.
And it's not that it needs a needle. It's just at one point somebody couldn't get the right needle.
Yeah.
So changed the whole cartridge and didn't do it correctly.
Oh, no.
And they soldered the cartridge in because it didn't have the right wires. So now one day I'm going to have to actually surgically remove the cartridge, yeah. get a new cartridge that will fit correctly with a needle.
Yes.
And from what I gathered, needles these days are like $20 a throw, let alone a whole cartridge. So someday I'll fix it and we'll play our albums again because there's nothing like the good old pop and hiss.
I love that. I love that. I really do. I love that sound. I don't know why.
Yep.
But
16, 33, 45, and 78. Yep.
Yep. Wait a minute. What type of records are on the 16? What's a 16 record?
16 records were commonly used for technical stuff like. You know, you'd get a film strip and it would go bing and you'd move, advance the film
okay.
a film strip, like an instructional film strip. Or children's stories, something that wasn't just a little sing-along song but was an actual story. They would on 16. As a matter of fact, they were made in Newark. They were made down neck, ward in Newark.
Do you know that I have a little, when I was what, I guess I was like 7 or 8, I was given a little, you know, suitcase type of record player, and it's got 16 on it. It's got 16, 45, 33, and 78. I got all four speeds on it. And I brought it up from the basement. You know, it was stored away, and I've kind of cleaned it up and everything. I'm going to display it in our library because, yeah. Now, the damn thing, I looked online. It's going for about $75 to $100 a pop. I'm like, really? Okay. Oh,
I've got a 19... I've got a 1932 Atwater Kent radio.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
And it's an old steel can radio. It doesn't have its own speakers. You have to put your speakers on it. It doesn't have its own antenna. You have to put an antenna on it. I mean, it's a real old Atwater Kent radio that covers from way back before we had the AM and FM allocations. It was only AM.
Mm-hmm.
But it goes way down below 54 and way up above, you know, 1240 or 16. Whatever it was, and you know, with a regular tuning dial and a fine tuning dial and all that other stuff, and a little eye in it that would, you know, if the band was wide, you weren't tuned in; if the band was small, you were tuned in,
right?
Kind of a thing. So, but I looked at it and I said, you know, I said, I got to find out. My dad gave it to me. He said, mm-hmm. see if we can do something with it. I said, all right. I don't know where he got it. Don't care. Mm-hmm. So I looked it up online. I said, okay, because it needs tubes,
right?
So I recognized the numbers of the tubes because I used to do some TV service with my dad years ago. And, of course, I did at one time do amateur radio and stuff like that. So I looked up the tubes. The tubes would cost me to put this back together mm-hmm. like $300.
Oh.
So I looked up and I found an Atwater Kent collector site.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, oh, so I got the model number and I got the serial number and I typed it in. And it's worth about $40.
Mm-hmm.
So that's $300 a tune. That's what $300 that's going to wait until the Powerball goes my way.
You're not kidding. Oh, my gosh. Hey, listen, looks like we had some good news. We're having some good news from Syria. Looks like Raqqa has been liberated from ISIS. Sort of, kind of.
You know what?
And do you know
You know how you can tell?
How? The women are walking around without burqas.
Without their burqas and they're burning their burqas and hijabs. No longer are they burning American flags, Israeli flags. They're burning their burqas. They're burning their niqabs, their hijabs, their, you know, Scott towels, whatever the hell they are, Pampers. They're burning them in the street.
Yes.
And jumping up and down on the fire. That's how you know it worked.
And do you know the New York Times has a very derisive article about it? Well, yeah, okay. So Raqqa's been liberated, but... At what cost? I mean, they actually said, well, there's really no city to come back to. They don't get it. They don't get it. They said, oh, it's just so war-torn. It's not the city that has been liberated. It's the people in the city, you stupid pieces of garbage.
On top of that, it wasn't like there was much of a city there to begin with.
Well, no, this is the thing, though. It's just like, this is what, I cannot believe it. It's just like, they don't get it.
Well, I'm not going to jump on the mission
accomplished. There's rubble of once grand buildings and stuff like this. And it's like, wait a minute. Fine, yes, but you know what? The people can now go back in there and start rebuilding, and they don't have worry.
Back up.
What?
He didn't. We made a mess.
Yes.
But ISIS made a mess getting Raqqa to themselves in the first place. They shelled it and bombed it and drove suicide bombs. We made a mess of the rubble, but they made the rubble.
Mm-hmm. No, seriously.
They're the ones who busted up the city. We just went in and finished the job. But you're right. They don't get it. We didn't free the city. We freed the people.
Yes.
And who's right or who's wrong? Well, at what cost? I'll tell you what cost. At the cost of saving those people. At the cost of saving the world from ISIS. How's that?
It's amazing how they just look at it from the facade. What the facade looks horrible. It's the people that live there that have been saved. People can now come back and they can start rebuilding, and they maybe can start another life again. Or, I'm not saying it's going to be easy, but at least they do not have that worry that they're going to be dragged out at night and put up against a wall and executed, because
people
that's what was
happening. People who were in Raqqa largely to serve as human shields so we wouldn't get mm-hmm. them. Now mm-hmm. they're free.
Yeah.
Look, the poll came out the other day. Somebody helped me out, because 99% of what I do here on PQRM is shoot from the hip. There was a poll came out day before yesterday. I don't remember if it was Pew. I don't remember if it's Quinnipiac. I don't remember who did it. 46% of the people in the poll said, yes, the media makes up the news.
Of course they do. Yes, they do. They do.
37% of the people said, 37% of the people said, no, they don't. And then there's another percentage that say, I don't know or I don't care, which if you take that and just turn around and say, okay, so we'll use the 37% of people who, say, no, it's not fake news. Mm-hmm. The rest of them added up are like, yes, it is.
Yeah.
Yes, it is. And the Times is guilty, and ABC, NBC, MSNBC, CNN are all guilty of this fake news. Mm-hmm. They've done retraction after retraction, correction after correction, and all this stuff. It's fake news.
Yeah, and then after they make their correction, they come out with more fake news.
Right. And now there's another woman comes up with a thing. She used to be on the board and at one time chairman of the FCC. Her name escapes me. Mm-hmm. Came out with a scholarly work saying that the government ought to be actively combating fake news. Restricting the internet and restricting the use of the internet by people who promulgate fake news or who spread it and share it. They should be nudged. It's not doing that anymore. Wood, I think her name was. I'm not sure, but I think her name was Wood.
But you know what? The thing is that if you're a journalist, if you are calling yourself a journalist, you should not be making up the news. You should just be reporting it, trying to get the story from A to Z. And here they are. They're just propagandists now. That's the thing.
How many people have said already, that the current crop of have sullied the image of the name journalist?
Well, you, me, conservative, podcast,
no, there's
talk
even
show
people
host,
on,
and
no, there's even people on the left saying, something. And I said this about somebody said something the other day about President Trump. Mm-hmm. And, you know, oh, you know, what's good news, what's fake news, what's bad news? I said, you know, and I tell conservatives this all the time. I see people put stuff up that's fake news from some of these new neocon sites.
Yes, some of them are, since the election. Yes.
And I tell people that's fake news, take it down. And I said, you know what? The left, from our perspective, the left does enough stuff with their, you know, merry madcap mayhem and zany antics that we don't need to invent anything. Just
that's
report.
Right. Well, you know what?
Right? Then, and then
a lot of those that are made up are made up by Democrats.
Yeah. And the thing is, if you're a Democrat, left, liberal, or whatever you want to call yourself, progressive, you don't need, if you think that you need to tear this president down, then go out and dig for it. Because I got news for you. You people have put out so much fake news that if you come up with something, it's going to be big enough that it'll work.
Yeah.
You know, these little, I compare them to the no-see-ums you get on a camping trip.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're annoying.
Yeah.
They make you itch. They make you swat. They make you do what we used to call the main wave, you know. waving them away from your face. Yeah. But they're annoying. But they're not going to kill you. That spider that comes crawling into your sleeping bag or that rattlesnake, that's going to kill you. Go find the rattlesnake.
Mm-hmm.
And I tell conservative people or people who consider themselves conservative and they post this, that, and the other, they say, no, it's fake news. Take it down.
Mm-hmm.
And I get into it with some people in social media and I say, look, every once in a while I'll mess up and I'll put something out there, whether it's here, whether it's on any of the social media platforms, I'll put something out that I didn't vet. At least three levels.
Yep. Yeah. All right. No,
and
me too. Yeah.
They'll call me on it. And every once in a while, I'll get caught. Mm-hmm. Every once in a while, I'll get caught. And I'll find out, oh, geez, I got to go back and retract that. Mm-hmm. You know, but it's, and I go to a site, and I'm not going to name them, but if you're on social media at all, you're starting to see them, and they all have either conservative or America or something like that in the title.
Yes.
And you see something. And you read the article and say, oh, I got to get this out onto Facebook right away. And you don't see links that you can vet at least two deep.
Yep.
Don't put it up.
I never do. It's like, no. Right now it's like delete. I don't know how I got on their email list, but I'm getting all this crap.
If they don't have a link to an original report, an original survey, an original test, an original court case, original dissent, or at least a link to one place that does, then you could consider it.
Yep.
But if it just tells you what it wants to say, and it doesn't give you any way to check the facts on this readily. I mean, I suppose you could cut and paste it into Google and check it that way. But no, I'm talking about, if they don't give you the opportunity to vet their information out, you can bet it was written by George Soros.
Oh, gosh, yes. Oh, yeah.
Because when the election comes up and they start talking about fake news, they're going to throw it right back in your face.
Most definitely. Most definitely.
And you threw your moral high ground right out the proverbial window.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
So, you know, that's where I stand on fake news.
Yep.
You know, we don't need help by using fake news.
No, we don't.
You know, Maxine Waters, Kamala Harris, what's this weirdo's name with the cowboy hats?
Frederica Williams, I believe her last name is. I know her first name is Frederica, and she's from Florida, and she has like
Florida.
Yeah, Florida. Did I say something wrong?
I said Florida.
Oh, and she's like, she voted, by the way, she voted against every bill that would aid veterans, okay?
Yep.
Frederica Wilson. Wilson, her last name is Wilson.
Wilson.
Yeah, anything that would aid veterans, she voted against. So, personally, I think that she made this up. I don't think Trump said that. Or if he said something like it, she decided just to mess it up and say that he said this. I'm sick of these people, you know? I'm just sick of it.
Let me tell you my take on this.
What?
Let me tell you my take on this. I think what happened, because from what I understand, for a very brief time yesterday, because the stories have all disappeared, the Gold Star mother in question said, yes, he did say that, or something to that effect, much to the rousing applause of the left. But that we don't see anything about her today in the news. That was yesterday.
I noticed that.
But I think what they were hoping for was a champion. The way they were hoping for a champion in those extremists that were a Gold Star family and appeared at the Hillary Clinton rallies. And everybody pointed them out, and they went away. I think they were hoping for another veteran's mom to be a champion of the left, and it didn't work out for them.
Yeah.
That's just my opinion. Because
if the woman
was a lefty who voted for Sanders or Hillary, and she got the call from the president, and she hates the guy, and she's a demonstrator and a marcher and a social justice warrior and all this other stuff, and she harangued him, about my baby. I got news for you. I turn around and I say it all the time. I'm not president of the United States, and I don't play him on TV, but I say it all the time. They know what they signed on for. This was a possibility. I'm sorry for your loss. I really am. I'm a veteran. I am very, very sorry for your loss. I can't imagine. Well, actually, I can imagine the pain you're going through. This is the gig.
Unfortunately, there is a possibility that might be.
But I don't
imagine
it being that tactless,
No, I don't either. Absolutely not. Hey, listen, the NFL is floundering, by the way. Isn't it great? I know. I'm changing the subject here.
No, it's okay. 17% last Monday they lost. 17%.
And have you seen
on a one-night game?
Pictures of last Sunday's games all over the country.
I saw a picture of the Giants, not the Patriots game.
Yep, against the Jets. And you figure that stadium would have been filled, and it was not filled. As a matter of fact, you could see the seats. So and the NFL.
No, isn't that a game? Isn't that a game that should have been packed?
Yes, that should have been packed. I mean, I didn't watch it, but I was just looking at all the empty stadiums, and a lot of people are criticizing. Say, well, these people really, the teams haven't lost money and everything because these tickets were probably already paid for. Hello, the concession stands. Do you know how much money they make off of the concession stands? I mean, at Gillette Stadium, a bottle of water goes for $4.50. Okay? So they're making money hand over fist at the concession stand. So don't give me this. So they are losing money. And Goodell gets out there, and first he says, well, I am not going to force them to stand. It's their right. No. Okay, fine. And then he comes out and says, well, yes, they should stand. And then he comes out and says, well, it's all about issues. And he keeps saying, he just keeps repeating and repeating.
What issues?
Well, he's talking about community issues and everything else. Well, you know what the thing is?
And what
issues? Wait a minute. The funny thing is that one player actually said, well, it's about equality, for even for women. Excuse me, how many domestic violence assaults have some of you guys?
Domestic violence, gun charges,
right.
Animal rights problems.
I'm just talking about
DWI arrests.
I mean, they're talking about equality for women too. Okay, yeah.
I wonder if any of their wives, ex-girlfriends use the Me Too hashtag.
I don't think so. But the NFL is going downhill because they are not playing the game of football. The NFL has ruined the game of football. I'm watching college football. By the way, the number two team in the country, Clemson University, lost last Friday night to the Orange Men of Syracuse. Yay! I know that means absolutely nothing to you.
It doesn't mean anything to me, especially.
No, but it means something to me.
Especially since the Yankees.
Yeah,
especially since the Yankees have been in it for 8 games longer than the Red Sox.
Oh, shut up!
We're on our way to number 28. How many rings in Boston?
Yeah.
How many rings on display? Anyhow, no.
Hey, listen. They yes, fired Farrell,
football
the general
is
manager.
Seeing an upsurge. Absolutely. Look, from what I was told something the other day by a friend of mine, tailgates at Patriots games, you know, the whole bit. And I mean, you know, when we talk about how, you know, some poor schlub, you know, that's a plumber, you know, wants to take a couple of kids and his buddy and his two kids, and they want to go out, you know, to a football game. So they save all year for these tickets, and they save all year to buy, you know, to get, you know, a couple of hot dogs and, you know, a Coke. You know, this guy goes, you know, with the grill on the back of the pickup truck with a hog roast in it. You know what I mean? I mean, and he said that part of the problem, he said, don't look at the attendance figures as strictly, you know, what, how did they put it? Colon cancer? Colon cancer?
Oh, Colin Kaepernick you're talking about?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. He said the NFL has had some issues with the fact that the game is now an hour longer than it used to be because of bad call or because of different rule calls and the referees are stretching it and, you know, all this other stuff. He said there's problems within, you know, the ranks anyway between the owners, the players, the union, you know, the league. He said there's a lot of stuff that's causing a problem for the NFL. He said, okay, granted, it's been much more marked since the whole taking a knee issue.
That's right.
But, you know, look, they're taking a hit, and you'd think that they would turn around. Look, when these guys go to negotiation next time and they say, well, I want another $5 million, well, we'll give you one. Well, no, I'm this quarterback, I'm that left end, I got to get, you know, $5 more million. Well, we don't have it.
Yeah.
Oh, we'd love to give it to you, but we don't have it.
Well, you know, the thing is, your friend's right. Because the NFL, year to year, keep changing the damn rules. They keep taking stuff out. They keep putting stuff in. They've changed where you now do a field goal, and I mean extra point, you know, and it's just a field goal, and it's just like, God, and have the extra. Then this has changed, and you can't do this. Oh, yeah, this is no longer a penalty. This is a penalty. Now we're changing the name of this penalty, and it's like, give me a break, folks. Just knock it off. Just play
just
the
play
damn
football,
game.
Right?
Just play the game the way it was originally supposed to be and tell your players you're there to play football. You want to be a social justice warrior, do it in your own time. This is your job.
So, did you ever hear the Andy Griffith soliloquy called What It Was Football?
No.
I recommend it.
Okay, I'll have to look it up.
This is a young Andy Griffith. It's out there. It's like Red Skelton's Pledge of Allegiance and John Wayne's America, Why I Love It.
Oh, man. Those two are,
you know,
amazing.
Yeah, but, I mean, Andy Griffith has this reverence for football. He's from North Carolina, obviously. Mm-hmm. And what it was football. And it's a paying to football. Mm-hmm. So that's one thing. But, you know, when you stop and you look at it, and somebody else brought this up, and I don't remember who, I'm not going to attribute it, but I had the same thought, okay? And I started to elucidate on it a moment ago. What are you protesting? If you ask 100 players, because now it's on Little League fields, now it's, as a matter of fact, the city council of Ann Arbor, Michigan the other day, in front of their meeting, four of their city councilmen.
Oh, yeah, I saw that. Yeah.
You know, ask 100 of these players, right? Now, you take 100 of these players, because what is it? They've got how many? 175 active players on the roster?
Yeah. Uh-huh. No, 52.
No, not each team in the league. I think it's like 175, or maybe it's 275, maybe it's 570, however many it is. Let's just say.
But you got, okay.
I don't know how many teams are there?
16.
16 teams, right? So take, I don't know, five guys from each team.
Or is it now 17?
Bring them all together.
Okay, go ahead.
Bring them all together.
All right.
Take them one at a time into an interview.
Okay.
What are you protesting? And see what they say. I bet you'll get that many different answers.
Excuse me, 32. I'm sorry. Brain dead. 32 teams.
Okay. So, 32 teams. Listen, five guys from each team, ask them, what do you, that kneel, not just, you know, random guys, five guys that kneel, and say, what are you protesting? And you'll get that many different answers. Now, I do not live anymore in a major city. Mm-hmm. I certainly don't live in a city with a football team. Mm-hmm. Right? Hell, I live in a village. I don't even live in a town. Mm-hmm. We went down to the doctor's office the other day. Mm-hmm. And as we were going down, we go past this elementary school. Beautiful little elementary school. It's not new. It's not old. But it's not, I mean, it's not one of these 1931, WPA projects, you know. Mm-hmm. But it was probably built in the 60s, you know, kind of a thing. And it's empty. It's closed. Mm. Those things exist. There's at least, we used to live in Casco, Maine. There was one in Casco, Maine. Mm-hmm. Any town you go to, built school district, there's going to be a closed school. Mm-hmm. I have this idea. Why don't these guys put their money where their mouth is? Because if you take those, what is it, 3, 15, 160 guys, right? 160 guys that we come up with. And they've got 160 different answers. But between them, they're probably worth $100 million.
Oh, my God, yeah. Uh-huh.
Any random bunch of them is probably worth $100 million. Say, okay, you're protesting because of this. You're protesting. Why don't you go down and buy one of these schools? Buy a couple of school buses. Mm-hmm. Pick up the kids from age 8 to age 12 in the, you know, primary school. Get a basketball team, a football team, a baseball team. Put the classrooms to use. Teach them to read. Teach them to use mathematics. Give them, you know, you don't have to build a new school. Fill it with tutors. Tutor yourself. Coach the games. Mm-hmm. Put your money where your mouth is. Have the local police department come in and explain life to these kids. Have them go on ride-alongs with the police department. Make a good relationship with your PBA, your FOP, and your little youth center. Mm-hmm. Get these kids to get their grades up from not attending school at all at age 8 years old. Or as Judge Janine likes to say, in Chicago, where kids don't even duck at the sound of gunfire. Mm-hmm.
Wait a minute.
You want to protest?
Okay, listen. Let me just back up a bit. They're not going to do it. They're not going to do it because they're selfish. They're not going to do anything like that. They're just going to blah, 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 blah. By the way, well, it was 53. And on that, 46 are active. Okay? On the roster, only 46 can be active. So you figure 46 times 32 teams, that's a hell of a lot of people.
And very few of them are poor.
No, they're not. They're not poor, not by a long
shot. And they all like to go out there with their Super Bowl ring on or their championship league champion ring on. And I'm not just going to limit this to football. Professional sports players of every variety.
Oh, God, yeah. Are you kidding? The Celtics picked up this guy. I think his first name is George. No. Last name is Hayward. And he's 27 years old, and they paid him like $128 million. And within the first 5 minutes of him being on the court, he broke his leg. Now, he's out for the season, and we don't know how long afterwards. $128 million. 5 minutes he's
on. To sit there.
And now he's 5 minutes. Oh. It was a horrible thing. Don't get me wrong. Horrible. But is it really worth $128 million? Is he really worth that amount of money?
Hey.
I don't think so.
I broke my ankle when I was in the service of our country. I didn't get $128 million worth.
I don't know. Things are screwed up a bit. But, you know. NFL's dead. NFL is dead. It's going downhill. And this was the final straw. This really was.
I pointed it out, that fellow who went, you know, was drafted by the NFL to the 49ers, mm-hmm. at the same time as Kaepernick, mm-hmm. you know, in the same round of draft picks.
Right.
And, you know, all that stuff, and he went to war and got killed. Kaepernick's kneeling, you know, because of, you know, because and not only that, but when you stop and think about what he was protesting, the cop that shot the guy was right. The cop, the guy that cop shot was wrong.
That's right. That's right. I know. But
no, the guy was a criminal.
Yeah, I know.
Oh. But they come out in their their ring and their gold chains, and they get out of their Mercedes or their Beamer or their Ferrari or whatever it is they're cruising around town in. Exactly. They got pulled over because they were hammered, you know, and they go and they do the interviews, and they, you know, that they went to, you know, close cover before striking School of Ministry Heavy Machinery and Football because they can't speak, you know, they sure as heck can't speak, they can't write, and, you know, and they're talking about, you know, I made it, I came up out of the hood. Yeah, you came up out of the hood, but what these kids don't understand is that you're one guy in 1 million in your city.
That's right.
They all think they're going to be rappers. They all think they're going to be the next NFL, NBA, you know,
that's true.
MLB, you know, star. And it's not going to happen.
They act like that's the way they are already, you know, and it's not going to happen.
And, you know, go back. You came out of that hood. Go back.
I know.
Go back. Know. Buy one of those schools.
I know.
Get your kids up out of the ghetto.
I know.
You know, we valued, as we were talking earlier, going to school, you know, in the 60s and 70s in New Jersey, an Italian neighborhood, this, anything. What on earth did our parents and grandparents value more than anything else?
An education.
You could go out. You could go out and be a hoodlum. But if you didn't go to school that day, going to be a hoodlum, you got it.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
You got. I don't care. You know. I don't care. You were a hoodlum, but you skipped school.
Mm-hmm.
You know. I'm like, I just don't. Somebody help me out here, because I don't consider myself a genius, but I don't consider myself a jadrul either. You know, jooch, you know?
Mm-hmm. All right.
I don't understand. I just don't understand. We value education, or we did. From when I was in the other part of town, my Jewish friends, their parents, what's the thing they said? Get to school, get the education. All my Asian friends, what did their parents value more than anything else? Education.
Mm-hmm. That's right. That's right. Yeah, but now.
And all my Portuguese friends, you know, from down neck, all my Portuguese friends, my Cuban friends, what did they value? Education.
That's right. Yeah. I know. But this is just. It's happening in the NFL. You're seeing the ignorance become very evident. It's also in Hollywood. You're seeing ignorance become very evident. Our schools also. It's just amazing. But I don't know. You know, this is a time of transition for us. This is a time of transition for us. I really think that what's happening here is that America has had it. We've had it being lectured to by both the Democrats and Hollywood and any other bleeding heart little group. And I think we have said that's enough. Now, let me tell you something interesting. I got to tell you something. A friend of mine.
And we said it very loudly on November 8th last year.
Exactly. Let me tell you something. My husband has a friend in the Netherlands, right? And Barry got a scathing notice from him yesterday saying that he's no longer going to follow him on Facebook because he's just horrified at his political beliefs. Now, my husband believes in the Second Amendment. And he was horrified by that. And he's like, well, I'm an American. I believe in our Constitution. I believe in my right to bear arms to, you know, fight a tyrannical government, you know. And this guy just doesn't understand it. He's in the Netherlands. I mean, let's look at the Netherlands, World War II. How long did it take the Nazis to overrun the country? What, 2 hours?
Actually, I think it was probably closer to 8.
Okay, whatever. I was
because they stopped. They stopped for lunch on their way halfway up.
Yes, exactly. So yeah, that's what happens when you don't have guns. But you know, and it's just, and you look at this and you go, okay, there's a reason why a whole bunch of people. I'm getting to my point. Left Europe because they in themselves were exceptional, and Europe and the Middle East and Asia did not have the types of government and societies they had, did not want exceptional people. They wanted people who would just go along to get along. That's what America was. It was for the exceptional people. And the people came from those countries, that part of the world, came to America and took their ideals and their desires and their hard work, and they made America an exceptional country. These people in the NFL do not know that lesson. They do not understand it, and that's why they're acting the jackasses that they are right now.
Woods, help me out. Woods, James Woods?
James Woods. Yes, the actor James Woods.
Yes, who's, you know, been pinned by himself, you know, as a conservative in Hollywood. Said recently, he said, the NFL players call themselves heroes, and they call their clothes uniforms. That's an affront to every soldier and every first responder in the country. They wear uniforms. That's You're true. Entertainers. You wear costumes.
That's excellent. Excellent. Yes. Right on point.
They
right
are. They're the point. Entertainment.
Right on
the
point.
I don't.
Of course they're entertainment.
We're arguing this over the last three or four podcasts, and I've used the full disclosure notice before. I don't follow football. I like to follow the Yankees just to rub it in all my New England friends' faces.
Yes, I know. You're doing it right now. Thank you very much.
Oh, you're quite welcome.
Yeah,
another service I provide.
I know.
Included in the price. I don't follow it. Look, drag racing, yes. Mm-hmm. Because drag racing goes back to the back when Ugg and Og encountered a saber-toothed tiger, and it's, I don't have to run fast, just faster than you. You know, so drag racing, I understand.
Right.
You know, I did it as a youth. I did some of it. I never did it on motorcycles. I have a friend, a late friend, actually died, from it. But I knew guys who, as a professional. Mm-hmm. I knew amateurs that died years ago, mm-hmm. too. Mm. But I did it in cars, so I understand drag racing. That is, I do not understand, and I'm sorry, there's no American, natural-born, natural-raised American citizen. You cannot tell me there's anybody understands cricket. All right, I like watching it. I have no clue what's going on.
Yeah, makes two of us. Same thing with rugby. Yeah.
Field hockey. I understand. Highlight. What's the other one? It's not called lacrosse.
Lacrosse, yeah. I like lacrosse.
No,
it's good in college, yeah.
Synchronized swimming.
Oh, God, no. Oh, God. Don't get me started on that, really. Seriously.
Just mix four exercise. Mm-hmm. And these are Olympic sports, by the way.
I know.
I have no idea. I understand drag racing. I understand if you really, people always refer to, football and stuff. And I'm like, I understand gladiatorial combat. Mm-hmm. I understand rollerball.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Other than that, it's just, I don't get it.
I know. It's just, it's a conundrum.
So an entertainer in a costume,
yes,
makes more in a season, mm-hmm. than a hero in a helmet makes in a lifetime.
I know. I believe me, I agree with you completely. I do. It's not one hero in a lifetime. It's like 30 to 50 heroes in a lifetime, dear. That's how much money these people get paid.
What is it, the concussive?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know the protocol. Whatever.
It's terrible because the league, of course, picks up some of the ball on that. But yet, these guys have got the money to get the treatment.
I know.
Got veterans dying 22 a day, from suicide because they can't get treatment.
I know.
For whom? And you know something? Is it their right? Joe Namath, Broadway Joe, who I didn't recognize without his pantyhose on.
Or drinking.
Broadway Joe was you know, Broadway Joe was on TV recently, and he doesn't look too bad.
No, he doesn't, actually.
Said, you know, look, this is your job. You know, I believe you've got a point. I believe you've got a point to make. I believe you've got a voice to make that point with. But I also believe that you put those clothes on and you go out on the field, you're now at work.
Right. That's true.
You know, he said, what if he turned to the one host and said, what if you, you know, when the show was starting tonight, instead of sitting here interviewing me, you got up with a sign saying, you know, something, anything, some protesting, and walk back and forth, mm-hmm. you know, instead of coming over here and doing your job, what would happen? Right. Well, I'd be fired. Yeah, of course you would. Mm-hmm. And it's not a question of whether they have the First Amendment right. It's not right. even a question of whether no. or not – it's not even a question of whether or not their point is valid, First Amendment aside. Mm-hmm. You know, it's a question of perception.
Right, exactly. Exactly.
The American yeah. people – the people buying the tickets and the T-shirts and the hot dogs mm-hmm. perceive you as disrespecting the flag, the soldiers, the country. Mm-hmm. They perceive you as that. It doesn't right. matter if it's right or wrong what their perception is, but that's a – so assuage them. Mm-hmm. Stand up, salute the flag, sing the national anthem. Then you get home, you get put on your play clothes, go out that's in the street right. and protest what you want. Mm-hmm. But they perceive you as being disrespectful, and it's mm-hmm. costing you money. Mm-hmm. It may not cost you money today, but next time your contract comes up,
that's right.
It's going to cost you money.
Yep. Well, I'll
well,
be honest.
You know,
the way I feel right now, Lou, I don't care. Let it cost as much money as it's going to cost them. You know, they actions
well,
have consequences.
Either.
Actions have consequences, and there you go.
Well, I'll tell you two things I like about the NFL.
What?
When it's game time on Sunday, I know the streets will be pretty clear. And when it's game time on Monday night, I know the streets will be pretty clear.
Well, let me tell you something. I no longer watch those games on Sunday or Monday or Sunday night or Thursday. Okay? No longer. And you know what? I find out I have more time, and it's a lot better. So, you know, such is life.
Yeah.
Hey, listen, folks, you know, we're going to have to start wrapping this up because we have been yakking away here. I mean, we've been having a good time, but still.
Oh,
you know,
yeah. People reminiscent of year one
people,
with us. You know.
Yeah, I know. People are probably going, shut up already. Okay. So I have to say, I don't know. What do I have to say? I'm just so confused. I'm talked out, to tell you the truth. But listen, everybody, thanks for listening. If you want to comment, please. We're here.
Mm-hmm. Please.
We have a small audience, but we do appreciate you.
We appreciate every one of you.
This is a chance for us to get out our opinion without being
yep.
too insulting, although some people may look upon our comments as insulting. But if you're that insulted, then maybe you shouldn't be listening. I don't know.
Well, no, let them listen, because here's
you
my
can
point.
Listen, okay?
I'm responsible for what I say, not for what you hear.
That's true. That is true. Yes, and I agree with you on that. I agree. But
we appreciate every one of our listeners, except him, and he knows who he is.
Dun dun dun.
No, that's we appreciate everybody. I was just trying to see. See, we do this. We see each other. You guys don't get to see us, which is probably a blessing. But we see each other when we're doing this. And I was waiting to see what face Anne Marie would make when I said that. And she just went through it blank. I'm like, oh, jeez, there's one wasted.
I said, sorry. I know, everything's going over my
because
head.
Because the football fans, you know, what the Italian what? People really aren't into football as much as they are into soccer.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
and
yeah.
They like the soccer. They like the soccer from the northern states, you know, Wisconsin, Michigan, you know, Minnesota and stuff like that. You know, the division they call the Upper U.S.
Mm-hmm.
The it took you a minute.
Jeez, oh, Flo, come on. That's it. I'm ending this right now.
You know how you the Italian word for suppository?
What?
Innuendo.
And on that note,
I believe it's a C sharp minor. Listen, boys and girls, thanks for joining us. Join us on the website. Remember to find us, like us, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Paths, Minds, Kodias, especially Kodias, because if you're listening to us, you're conservative. It's the conservative alternative to Facebook. Do comment, do tune in, do like and share, and do have a wonderful day. Actually, I really don't. Who the hell am I to tell you what kind of day to have? Have whatever kind of day you see fit. And may God bless the United States of America.
Samson, speak. Good boy.